Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Have you ever been impressed with somebody who's really rich and powerful? You know, somebody come, hey, that's Elon Musk there. They say he's the richest man in the world. And many people are. Most people are. Or they're starstruck. You know, they see somebody that's a movie star and are impressed. In Ephesians, you know, Paul's writing from jail. He's in prison. And it's interesting, just going back over what we've covered so far, the verses, starting with chapter 1, he says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance, his inheritance in the saints. 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And then 3:16, he might grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. And then 3:18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Christ. Wait a minute, missed the right verse. To bring out the unsearchable riches of Christ. Which verse was that? It's in 3. Let me see. Yeah, verse 8. And to me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here's Paul in prison. And all he talks about is how rich he is and how rich we are. I think of, you remember the story with Jacob. Joseph is in Egypt, raised to the right hand of power, and God uses him to save his brothers and his father. And it says when Jacob comes down to be with him, and he introduces him to Pharaoh, the richest man, and perhaps the most powerful man in the world at that time. And what does it say Jacob did? He blessed Pharaoh. He blessed Pharaoh with the consciousness that he was richer than Pharaoh. He wasn't impressed by all the glory of this world, all the accumulation of gold and silver, all the multiplication of military might. He knew that he had an inheritance, a calling, a blessing from God, which was greater. Scripture clearly says, the blesser is greater than the blessee. You know, the person who's being blessed. And Jacob, fully aware of his riches that was from the promises of God. Paul is the same way. He's in jail. He's chained. I think Neil brought out he's chained at night to soldiers. He's not at liberty. Yet he's at total liberty. The end of chapter 2. Oh, wait a minute. Make sure I get it right. Verse 3:16. That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now that's not the verse. He talks about the boldness. I'm sorry. It's 14. For this cause I bow my... Nope, it isn't 14. It's 12. I got it. Stay with me and we'll get there. 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. The word for boldness in the original means free speech. Literally means free speech. And access means freedom of movement. Now, you don't usually think of a prisoner talking about, I have free speech. I'm in bondage. You're taking away my freedoms. Paul was not in bondage. He said it at the beginning of this chapter. He was a prisoner, not of Rome, nor of Caesar, but of Jesus Christ. He considered that the Lord was in total control. And he had perfect boldness to come before God and say whatever he has on his mind. That's what boldness is. That's what free speech is. To tell the Lord exactly what you're thinking. Sometimes we are a little bit afraid to do that, lest we say the wrong thing. The Lord wants us to be honest with him and come and tell him how we feel, tell him what we think, tell him what we say, that we should tell him, speak to him. And we have free access. We're not, you know, the kings, the time of Esther, the kings of Persia had a rule. Nobody comes into my presence unless I ask you. And do you remember The King and I? You ever seen the musical, The King and I? And there's one point where the king, his rule was that Anna and whoever else was in the presence of the king must make sure that her head always stayed lower than his. Because she was kind of coming across in his eyes, or in the eyes of Siam, impertinently. He says, you must show respect to me. And so, at one point, she says, okay, I'll do it. And so at one point, she's there, and he's testing her, you know, and he's stepping down lower and lower, and she's going lower and lower. Well, the kings, they think they're so great that when you come into their presence, you have to say, oh, king, live forever. You know, you are such a good king. We just love you. We just hope you'll never die. You know, and people will say things that they don't mean. Paul knew he had access, freedom of movement, to come into the very presence of the one we remember this morning, the greatness of the Lord. And we have free access. And the Lord says, think of He's so great, and yet He says, where two or three are gathered to My name, I'll come where you are. I'll come in your presence. I'm in the midst of you. What a great God we serve. It's not degrading to Him to be humble. His heart is humble. It's meek and lowly in heart. And Paul was that way. And he started this chapter saying, I, Paul, therefore, for this cause, I, Paul. And he never gets to the cause, to what he's kind of saying, until he gets to verse 14. So he repeats it, for this cause, I bow my knees. Because in between, he's going to tell them about the plan of the ages. What God has in store for you. It's particularly you Gentiles. You're not going to believe it, Gentiles. The Old Testament, the Jews, were God's chosen people. And they had the sign of the covenant. Yeah, you could be blessed by coming in through Judaism. But God has this plan to make no difference between Jew and Gentile. All one in Christ. And every blessing that you see, Christ goes through, we go through. When He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He was raised, we raised. When He's sitting at the right hand, we're seated there with Him in glory, His greatness. Now Paul says, I'm thinking of you in Ephesus. I'm praying for you. And he tells us, we kind of eavesdrop on his prayer. There was another time when Paul was in prison, in Acts 16, when he was in Philippi. You remember the man, he saw a vision, come over and help us. And when he gets there, he finds that he's thrown in prison, he and Silas. And what did they do as prisoners? They prayed. And they sang praises to God. What they didn't do was, maybe that vision wasn't of the Lord. This can't be of the Lord, because look what happened. We're being persecuted. We're being beaten. We're being locked up. And no freedom. But they knew there was a whole congregation of prisoners in that inner cell. And they prayed. And they sang praises. And the prisoners earned them. They saw things as God saw them. They knew they weren't the prisoners there. They knew that God was directing them just at the right place for the people to hear them sing praises to the Lord. And so Paul now, again in prison, but not bound, his prayers reach Ephesus. His prayers reach Colossae. His prayers reach Philippi. And he writes letters to them, to us. What will we do without these letters? It shows Paul's spirit and his heart and his enjoyment of the riches and the might and power that he had in Christ Jesus. Because as we read through this, he multiplies words that mean power, strength, might. Like there's five different words that are used in the original. That we're not only rich, but we are powerful. Martin Luther understood that in that hymn he wrote. One little word will fell them. Yeah, they're powerful in men's eyes, but not in God's eyes. His word is far more powerful. It's powerful enough to take a lost sinner that's dead and make him alive and resurrect him and take him to glory and bless him beyond measure. And Paul says, this is what I pray for you all. Verse 16, that God would grant, according to the riches of His glory, you'll be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What do we pray for others about? If we're praying for somebody, usually it's, we pray for their health. We pray for them physically that they'll be well. And pray for them if they're poor that they might have enough sufficient to go on. And usually it's things related to the outward man. But do we pray first for them that they be strengthened in the inward man? I think it's in one of John's letters. He prays that their outward man would be as strong as their inward man is doing. You know, that we're looking at what lasts for eternity. When we look at believers, we pray that, that go on with the Lord. That they grow in Christ. That they might enjoy just how rich they are. We said on Wednesday, it's a land flowing with milk and honey God has brought us to. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Again, he's looking at the inward man. That Christ may be at home in your hearts by faith. That asks the question of us. If our heart is a home, would Jesus feel at home there? I've been reading Ezekiel. And Ezekiel says that God, by His Spirit, took him. You remember, he was carried away back to Babylon and carried away captive. And he was brought by the river Kabar. The Spirit transported him to Jerusalem, to the temple, inside the very temple. And there were the leaders worshiping idols in secret. He said, son of man, you see what they're doing here. You see the idols that they're serving in the very temple. Do we have idols in our hearts? Are there things there, or things in my heart that the Lord would not be pleased with? Desires that are not the new man, but left over from the old man. The old man's still there. And if we give it any encouragement, it gets stronger and stronger. But will Christ be able to come into our house and say, wow, this is home. I love dwelling in that heart. That I don't see those idols there. May the Lord's, David could write in Psalm 137, 139, about search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my reins. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. We need, as believers, sometimes take stock of that. What am I really valuing? What am I really worrying about? What are the things that control my time? What would the Lord say if He was redecorating the house to make it at home? That was Paul's prayer for them, that He may dwell in your hearts in the sense of really at home there by faith. You being rooted and grounded in love. The roots of the plant that go down in the soil. For a believer, those roots, that soil is love. And as our roots go down and the plant springs up, it takes from the ground, from the soil, and turns it into something that bears fruit for someone else. Somebody said that, I mean, just think about natural seeds. You put it in dirt, right? You put it in dirt, and that seed has the ability to take the dirt and water and powered by the sun and turn it into fruit that we eat. How does it do that? Somebody said plants are just another form of light, because the seed is able to take the light and the energy from the light and from the dirt, you know, the worthless dirt, the cheap dirt, and can make it into all these different kinds of plants that we love and fruits that we love. Isn't that amazing? I mean, never stop to think about it. There is so much information. People boast about their computer programs. There is none that match this. There is so much information in this tiniest seed that it can take dirt and make food for all of us. And for us as believers, that dirt is love. Our roots need to go deep into that subsoil and pull up love. Yeah. Love that we share with others. Fruit that is made to be picked. I might have said this before. I was like the Wizard of Oz, you know. When you go to the Wizard of Oz and they come and they start picking the fruit from the tree, and they have the tree all mad. How would you like somebody to pick it off you? Well, the tree should have been happy, because God made the tree happy for you to pick the fruit from it. That's why it's there. It should have said, well, have some more. Because as we're rooted in love, and the love comes out, for believers it's shown in fruit and in service and in love for somebody else. And not just for what I can get. Not just for me, me, me. Strengthened in the inner man, the heart, dwelling in the hearts by faith, rooted in love, founded in love. This house is on a foundation. The subsoil is strong. You know, the Lord talked about building on a rock and building on sinking sand. I know a little bit about foundations since I was a foundation engineer. And there's I don't know if I've shared it once before or not, but there's a condition called liquefaction, where if a building is built on sand that has a high water table, and let's say a looser sand, but normally the building would stand. But as soon as there's an earthquake or something and shakes the sand, the sand turns to a liquid, a mud. Best illustration. Have you ever seen them placing concrete and they put a vibrator? They pour the concrete in there and it's all stiff and piling up. And they stick a vibrator in the concrete and suddenly it flows smoothly. That's another form of liquefaction. It turns it into a liquid from the vibrations. Well, earthquakes do the same thing. And if you're built on sand with a high water table, and if it's looser sand, it will turn it to a liquid. It's not a good foundation. You have to recognize that when you're building the structure, depending on what the conditions are. But our foundation is also love. And that's a sure foundation. And that's what Paul's prayer for them is, that they understand that is what their foundation is. And that they would comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth, length, and depth and height. That doesn't say of what. A little later on he talks about the fullness of God. Best illustration of this is at the beach here. Is if God gave you strength, kind of endless strength, and you could swim, and he would tell you to go out to the ocean, and he said, swim away. Go as far as you can go. Go as deep as you want. Measure the breadth, the length. Go down to the depths and to the heights. Comprehend it all. Understand it all. What God has in store for us. Some people say, what's heaven going to be like? It's going to be boring. Be sitting there with wings and singing hymns. Don't you understand what kind of a God we have? It will take eternity to probe the depths of His fullness. It'll be one surprise after another. One joy after another. The unsearchable riches of Christ. It will take eternity for us to enjoy it all. And Paul's prayer for the believers was to know what God has revealed to them in its extent now, as much as we can, to enjoy it. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and went through many questions to him. And when she comes away, she says, they had no breath in her. She says, the half has not been told. Well, the Lord says, comprehend with all saints, even the half that has been told. Enjoy it. Take it deep in. Let it become a part of us. And comprehend it. To know the love of Christ. To know it is unknowable. It passes knowledge. To be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a cup overflowing. You have the fullness of God. It's everything. He says, now you be filled with all that. How could that be? It goes beyond us. It's beyond a land flowing with milk and honey. And in the last verse, last two verses, think of this. It leads to praise. To God be the glory. To Him that is able, He has power to do exceedingly abundantly. In the original, it's a tri-compound word. So one word means abundant. And then the next word is a adverb that means out. It's kind of like when we say we fill something or we fill something up. How that intensifies the filling. Well, that's what he's saying here. Abundantly out. And then the third adverb means is where you go uber from. Hyper. Upper. Over. So you add that over, abundant out as much as you can. He just expands on it. You can't come to an end of it. Exceedingly abundantly above all. Not only what you ask, anything you ask, God is able to do far greater than that. And what you cannot even imagine and think of, He's done far greater than that too. We've sent probes into the universe to try to find the end of the universe. And the more they look, the more they see more and more galaxies, the farther they go. There was a time when one of the disproves the Bible, and he sat up all night and he counted all the stars. He said, see that? I've disproved the Bible. There are And he gave the number of how many stars in the universe. What a fool. It's innumerable. And he knows everyone by name. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. It's the power where we get the word dynamite, dynamo, dynamic from. And then works in us energy. The word for energy is there. All these mount up according to his riches, his grace, his glory, his power, might, energy that we're brought into. And when we enjoy it and comprehend it, it leads to a doxology, a praise. To him be the glory. In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. When we get to heaven, we'll all be singing his praises. The more and more we learn of him, the greater and greater we'll understand. But we'll never reach the end of his greatness. But we will be there praising, because he deserves all the glory and all the prayers. This was Paul's prayer for believers. Lord, don't let them go through tribulation. Lord, don't let them suffer. Lord, help them through this trial. He didn't say any of that. He said, let them be strengthened in the inner man. Let Christ dwell at home in their hearts. Let them comprehend the full extent of your fullness that you've poured and lavished upon us. To know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. To him be praise and glory and honor. Shall we praise? Lord, we think of how great you are. We cannot sound the depths of it. The breadth or length or depth or height, Lord, we cannot comprehend. And yet, Lord, what we do comprehend, we are amazed at. And we thank you and praise you for it. And thank you for this fountain of living water that flowed out of that prison and came down to us in this letter, in these letters that Paul wrote. We give you thanks in your name. Amen.